Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, titled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. Verse number 2.
Brahma kopo thitadyastu takshakat prana viplavat nasammu mohoru bhayat bhagavatyat pitashayah brahma kopo thitadyastu Takshakat prana viplavat nasammu mohoru bhayat bhagavatyarpitashayah brahma kobodhitadyastu takshakat prana viplavat Nasam mohoru bhayat bhagavatyarpitashayah
Brahma kopa, fury of a brahmana, udhita, caused by, yaha, what was, to, but, takshaka, by the snake bird, Prana viplavat from the solution of life. Na, never. Samu moha was overwhelmed. Uru bhayat, great fear. Bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead. Arpita, surrendered. Ashreha, asheha, consciousness. Translation. Furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bit him because of the fury of a Brahmana boy. So here's a purport by Srila Prabhupada. A self-surrendered devotee of the Lord is called Narayana Parayana. Such a person is never afraid of any place or person, not even of death. For him, nothing is as important as the Supreme Lord. And thus, he gives equal importance to heaven and hell. He knows well that both heaven and hell are creations of the Lord. And similarly, life and death are different conditions of existence created by the Lord. But in all conditions and in all circumstances, remembrance of Narayan is essential. The Narayana Parayana practices this constantly. Maharaj Parikshit was such a pure devotee. He was wrongly cursed by an inexperienced son of a Brahmana, who was under the influence of Kali, and Maharaj Parikshit took this to be sent by Narayan. He knew that Narayan, Lord Krishna, had saved him when he was burnt in the womb of his mother. And if he was to be killed by a snake bird, it would also take place by the will of the Lord. The devotee never goes against the will of the Lord. Anything sent by God is a blessing for the devotee. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was neither afraid of nor bewildered by such things. This is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
The translation again. Furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bit him because of the fury of a Brahmana boy. Hare Krishna. So here we are towards the end of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and here the curse by the Brahmana boy Sringi is being explained. So as the beginning of this chapter, the position of Maharaj Parikshit is described as Abhaya. He is completely fearless. So as you know, this is the sign of a pure devotee, and this is very nicely explained, the reason why he was fearless, and in one sense what is this qualification of a pure devotee that is described in this purport. So here we can see the material world is full of fear, and this fear has many names. We say anxiety, insecurity. But at the end of the day, it is nothing but just fear. What is anxiety? It is just fear. Insecurity is nothing but fear. And even all our actions are primarily based on fear. The very nature of fear is manifested in material existence by the propensity to defend. So, it is mentioned of the four animalistic nature that we have, that is eating, mating, sleeping and defending. The most prominent feature a conditioned soul has is to defend. It's not eating, it's not mating, it's not sleeping. The most prominent one is to defend. And defend is the reaction of fear. So if you have fear in this material existence, we don't have to be very much surprised. That is the very nature of material existence. 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Bhayam ditiya abhinivesitasya isha tapetasya viparya smriti. So there it explains why we are fearful. The first point is bhayam ditiya abhinivesitasya. That is, the second nature of a conditioned being is fear. So we can say the nature of spiritual existence, or the residents of the spiritual world, their primary nature, the whole nature is in love. They are in love with the Supreme Lord. In the same way, when that is being transferred to the material world, that love becomes fear. So the material existence means the existence of fear. So that is Dvitiya Abhinivesata. Abhinivesata means it is the engrossed in fear. The conditioned entity is engrossed in fear. The whole existence is full of fear. Why? Ishat apetasya viparya asmriti. So, he has, the conditioned beings, including us, we have turned away from the Supreme Lord. So, we have the very nature of asmriti, meaning smriti is remembrance. Asmriti means forgetfulness. So, just because of forgetfulness of the Lord, we are entrapped in this existence of fear. So even as a devotee, we are afflicted by fear. It is just the degree to which we are afflicted by fear, but the nature of fear is within us, and that comes out on and off. We may not be fearful as the karmis are. The materialistic people, they are completely in fear. Consider the existence of a person who is very rich or who is very powerful. We think it is nice in ignorance, but the reality is that if someone has something, they don't want to lose that. So since they don't want to lose that, they are in fear. And by the very nature of this world, everyone will lose everything practically. Correct? So everyone is in fear. So everyone has something and they don't want to lose that, but anyway they will lose that, so they are in fear. So they are in fear of losing. So if they may have power, they are in fear of losing power. If they have wealth, they are in fear of losing wealth. So you name it. Sashastra says, you know, if somebody is wealthy, then they are afraid of thieves. If somebody is well educated and they are, you know, kind of researchers, they want to present their case, they want to present their arguments, then they are afraid of opposing arguments. So if somebody is very beautiful, then they are afraid of jara, of the old age. So, and if somebody is very powerful, they are afraid of, they are in the fear of being defeated. They can be crushed. So, a conditioned entity, a living entity, who, practically speaking, do not have anything materially, and who thinks, because of attachment, that aham mameti, that is, I am the body and the mind, and whatever is connected to me, are just me and my expansions. He doesn't have anything, still, since he attaches himself to the body and the connections to the body, and he thinks he possesses everything, and then he is in fear of losing everything. Because the very nature of material existence forces everything to be taken away. So one is in constant fear. Now how it applies to us as devotees? Can we see traces of fear in our heart? Yes, we can see. We can see fear. It's just the circumstances. It just comes out. We may be fearful of many things. It could be something material. We could be fearful of losing our material comforts. I am in my comfort zones. Whether it be in my service, whether it be in my accommodation, whether it be in my preaching. In any case, we may think, yes, I am in my comforts. So I don't want to lose that comfort. And if something comes and that is going to take away our comforts, then we become kind of agitated. And it is a fear. We think, what is the, as a devotee, it's very interesting to see the situation. Because as devotees, we hear day and night, or at least a few hours a day, that we are not the body. And it is just attachment to the body and the mind that is causing the suffering. So as a devotee, why this kind of fear arises within our heart? It can be anything. Okay, Prabhu, you had to do this service. So we think, oh, can I do this? Or, you know, I don't want to do this. I know, I may lose this. I may lose the other thing. Or, I won't like it. You know, so many things come to the mind. So, why this kind of thoughts come to our mind? These are extensions of fear. Why it does come? The reason is the same point as we mentioned earlier, which is asmriti. That is, we forget the hand of Krishna. So this is the real test. As Bhagavatam says, the second canto, the whole philosophy is leading to remembering Narayan. Here is Narayan is mentioned. Ante Narayana Smriti. The whole practices must lead to remembering Krishna at the end of our life. Yam yam vapismaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram tantam eveti kaunteya sadadad bhava bhavitaha. So whatever consciousness, whatever state of mind in which we leave this body, we are going to attain the same state. So what we are doing is we have the art of living. This is the art of living and the art of leaving. So we have both. We have to leave this world. So we need to know the art of leaving. And that is to come to the platform of fearlessness, to come to the platform of abhaya. That is one of the qualifications of a pure devotee. And we are meant to achieve that state of consciousness. So when Srila Prabhupada was initiated, his name was Abhay Charanaravinda. His name was already Abhay, and Abhay Charanaravinda. So the very name of Srila Prabhupada gives us the knowledge, the understanding that what is the prime reason for being fearless? That is Abhay Charanaravinda. What is the meaning of Charanaravinda?
Lotus
feet. So he is fearless because his consciousness is always placed. He is always surrendered unto the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the only remedy for our fear. If you think, is there any other remedy? We are in a wrong state of consciousness. This is the only remedy. That is understanding that Krishna is the protector. Krishna is the maintainer. Gopruttevarnam tatha. Krishna is the maintainer. So when we move, and we can be easily taken away from that consciousness because of our conditioning. So when we move that from consciousness, we are in fear. We may recognize, we may not recognize, but we are in fear. And it's just a matter of the circumstances, the impulses from the external nature, when actually pokes us, the fear actually manifests into our mind, and then we become agitated. Oh, what's going on? What's happening? So it's just a matter. So the time we actually forget Krishna, we are already in fear. So this is fear. And here we can see the characteristics of a pure devotee who is Narayana Parayana. See, here the example is Maharaj Parikshit, who is Narayana Parayana. And here I'll read this first sentence of this purport. A self-surrendered devotee of the Lord Narayana Parayana is called Narayana Parayana. So such a person is never afraid of any place or any person, not even of death. So this is the standard we have to come to. Even not afraid of death. People say they are not afraid of death, but people are. Who wants to die? No one wants to actually. Even someone commits suicide, still they are committing suicide. One could say, you know, he's not afraid of death. Actually, someone is committing suicide because he wants a better life. You know, he cannot make it in this life. So, dreaming a better life, committing suicide, I can't suffer. So he's at the actual hope is a good life. So even one who is actually committing suicide doesn't want actually death, wants a good life. So this is the situation. So we have to come to this platform. And here, this verse, this specific reference is from the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. So I was thinking it is a very nice verse where Lord Shiva speaks to Mother Parvati. Why? Because Mother Parvati cursed Maharaj Chitraketu. So Maharaj Chitraketu, he was a Vidyadhara, and he was traveling in a spaceship with beautiful damsels, and all of them were glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the meanwhile, they saw that Lord Shiva was in a beautiful forest, surrounded by sages, and on his lap, to everyone's surprise, was Mother Parvati. So Maharaj Chitraketu looked at this scene. You know, Lord Shiva is there, who is a great ascetic, who doesn't have any house, who is just living in Himalayas, and his hairs are matted, he has a snake around his neck, and the clothing is very, very meager, and his whole body is smeared with ashes. So think about an ascetic like Lord Shiva, who is completely renounced, who is a householder without a house. Mm-hmm. And now, even in that position, who is completely meditating on the Supreme Lord, Mother Parvati, his wife, was on his lap, surrounded by all the sages. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he thought, this is really a funny scene. Isn't it contradictory? That is, usually Karmis, who is quite attached, they will have their wives on their lap, and that too in front of all the sages. So usually one should have some shame. A shameless person could do such a thing. That is a general understanding. But Maharaj Chitraketu, he knew the position of Shiva, but he took it in a funny way, and he just laughed at the whole scene. However, Lord Shiva, he didn't take it very seriously. Because why Shiva didn't take it very seriously? Because Shiva, he looked at Maharaj Chitraketu, and he thought, look at Chitraketu, who is a Vidyadhara. He is glorifying the Supreme Lord. Yes, that's right. But at the same time, he is also surrounded by beautiful girls. So what's going on? So in both ways. So when the whole thing happened, Mother Parvati took it very seriously. So this is the nature of a woman. It's the nature of a wife, especially. That is, there could be arguments within the family, within the household, you know, as we can see the same nature in Mother Parvati in her previous birth as Sati. So in the Daksha Yajna, Lord Shiva told Sati, please don't go to this sacrifice. Her father, Daksha, was conducting a big sacrifice. So Lord Shiva warned, don't go. You won't be welcomed nicely. So you will not be welcomed nicely, so please don't go for this. But Sati was quite attached to her ornaments, and she saw all her relatives were beautifully decorated and they were going. So she thought, okay, I should also go. I want to show off my beautiful dresses and I want to show off my beautiful ornaments. That was her nature. And Lord Shiva warned, so what did Mother Sati did? Sati looked at Lord Shiva with a fiery eyes as if she would burn him. So this was, you know, it was a very tense moment within a family, you know. She's looking at Lord Shiva as if she is going to burn him. Okay. Anyway, she disobeyed Lord Shiva and she went. However, in the assembly, when she understood that her husband was not honored and there was no oblation for Lord Shiva, Sati became completely furious. So we can see the same point here. She, you know, she committed suicide. She burnt herself and thinking about Lord Shiva. So she took another birth as Mother Parvati, and now Parvati is with Lord Shiva. And here is another incident where Maharaj Chitraketu didn't actually do, you know, great offense, but, you know, just laughed. But here in public, so Mother Parvati again took it very seriously, you know, just like that was a very great offense that Daksha committed, and this was very minor. And Daksha was proud; he was completely proud. However, here Chitraketu, he's a pure devotee of the Lord, and he's continuously glorifying the Supreme Lord. So in the scene, Mother Parvati became completely angry and she cursed Maharaj Chitraketu. And what was the curse? In the next life, you would become
demon,
a Rakshasa, Asura. And what was the response of Maharaj Chitraketu? He, with folded hands, Maharaj Chitraketu told Mother Parvati that if that is your wish, I am ready to accept. So, seeing the whole scene, even Mother Parvati was bewildered. So Lord Shiva explained the situation. He explained the situation and he told Mother Parvati, look at the beauty of the devotees of Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. How great are they? They are not afraid of any situation. They are not fearful at all. They are Narayana Parayana. So this verse is Narayana Parasarvayana Kudascha Kaschana Bibhadi Sorga Apavarga Narageshu Api Tulyartha Darshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. So they are only interested in the service of the Lord. So we can see in the next life what happened to with Vritrasur, because he took birth as with Vritrasur, who was fighting against all the devatas, all the demigods, and he was also not afraid. He was completely under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So when Indra, there was this great battle between the demons and the demigods, and Lord Indra was leading the demigods and Vritrasura was leading all the demons. So when Indra actually took up the weapon and he was about to kill Vritrasura, then Vritrasura, he was completely fearless. He told Indra, you just kill me, no problem. You kill me, I am ready. So this was the consciousness of Vritrasura, because he was a pure devotee in the body of a demon. So his prayers are so famous. Even just before he's being killed, he was unaffected. Aham hare tava padega moolam dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya manasmareta asupater gunamste grihita vakarma karotukaya. He identifies, even in that position, in the most fearful position when one is going to be killed. That time, Vritrasura, he identified himself as servant of Krishna. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya. Let me again become a servant of your servant. Aham hare tavat padayka mula. Let me become servant of your lotus feet. Manasmareta asupater gunamste. And what I want to do with my mind, he makes it very clear. Asupate, O Lord of my life, asupate gunamste. I want to meditate upon your qualities, O my Lord. Grihita vakarma karotakaya. Let my words be glorifying you and let my body be serving you. So this is the consciousness of a great devotee. Even in the body of a demon when approaching death. So this is Vasudeva Parayana or Narayana Parayana, who is completely under the lotus feet of Krishna. Same consciousness is being demonstrated by Maharaj Parikshit. He knew that he is going to be killed by the snake bird, but his consciousness was completely fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And he had the direct experience of the Lord. So that is mentioned here as the very nature of a devotee, a very nature of a pure devotee. He understood that he was actually being burned by the Brahmastra in the womb of his mother Uttara, and he was given life by the Lord personally. So the same Lord, if he wants to kill someone, then I am ready to be killed. And if he wants to protect someone, then let it be so. As it is mentioned, if Krishna wants to save someone, no one can kill him. And if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. So this is the... And a pure devotee has completely realized that. So he is completely, there is no tension. He is completely free from anxieties. So at the end of Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, when Sukadeva Goswami was finishing his instructions, and then Sukadeva Goswami asked Maharaj Parikshit, have you got any more questions? Are you convinced of everything? Because now from first canto till the 11th canto and the beginning of 12th canto, all spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit 7 days and 7 nights, so the whole understanding of Krishna has been given. And Maharaj Parikshit, he received all this knowledge and he realized everything and he was completely in trance thinking about Krishna. So then Sukadeva Goswami asked, do you have any final questions? And Maharaj Parikshit, he said, no, I have understood everything. So he fixed his consciousness completely upon Krishna's lotus feet. And then his guru, Sukadeva Goswami, he just turned back and he just left. And in that position, he left his body. In one sense, he didn't leave his body by the snake bite, but in intense absorption in Krishna, in samadhi. He was in complete samadhi and he had already left his material body, and just as a matter of curse, as a matter of sake, just a snake bird came and just bit the body. So that is the end of a pure devotee. So the important point as practitioners of Krishna consciousness we have to remember is that Krishna is the protector, he is the maintainer. So we have to try to come to this consciousness. And very, very beautiful word in the translation and purport is used is, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead. See, consciously surrendered. So surrender is a conscious activity. As Srila Prabhupada said, first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. So it is a choice of the living entity whether to surrender or not. So if we are not actually thinking about Krishna consciously, then we are not thinking, we are thinking about Maya. So our sadhana, our chanting, our reading, our application of all in our services has to be conscious. We have to be conscious of what we are doing. So with that consciousness, that is surrender. So if we are conscious of what we are doing in service of Krishna, let it be our sadhana, let it be our seva, that is surrender to Krishna. So if we continue that process, that we have to deepen that process, then one can see one is making progress. So we can never be stagnant in the spiritual life, because spiritual life, it either goes up or it goes down. Stagnation won't last. Stagnation means actually we are going down. So we have to be very mindful about our practices in Krishna consciousness, so that we know the objective, we know what kind of consciousness is expected. So with this, I stop and see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Yeah. Two aspects to it. One, that's why we hear Bhagavatam. So when we hear Bhagavatam, when we hear examples from Bhagavatam and the philosophy, that helps. Second, that's why we have association of devotees, because devotees, even in difficult circumstances, we have many examples. Devotees here, you know, who may have difficulty still, they keep going in Krishna consciousness. And those examples actually help us to see, yes, such and such devotee, he is going through a very difficult period, still he is Krishna conscious. That gives us inspiration and gives us courage to go forward. Yeah, whatever happens, I will keep going in my Krishna consciousness. Because the material circumstances is unpredictable and we don't know. Whatever happens, the only thing predictable should be our Krishna consciousness. Then, with these two examples, this has to be supported by our sadhana, basic sadhana of chanting. So when we strengthen our chanting, that gives us taste in the holy name, that gives us faith in the holy name, that gives us faith in Krishna. So it's a gradual process with the whole, the sadhana package has to be strong. So that helps us to move forward. Understanding, yes, we are getting in our sadhana, we are getting the juice, we are getting some taste. So there is something valuable in it, and Krishna is there, we will get protected from that. So we need that experience. So we should aspire for more and more Krishna conscious experiences through our sadhana and seva. Any further questions? Yes.
Do you have a translation for
Parayana?
For?
Parayana.
Narayana
Parayana. You want the exact translation? I can give you 1 second. You can get from the 6th canto. Oh. Pure devotees who are interested only in the service of Narayana. One who is only interested in the service of Krishna. It's not in here, yeah, but it's in the 6th canto. Okay, please.
Just one comment about it. Maya Krishna Rakeke Ati Krishna.
Yes. Thank you.
Remember that we will not be so much afraid. And if we have a strong faith in Krishna, that will bring us to the stage of Prema Mahatma.
Yes.
So strong faith and association with the devotees. These are, you said already, two very important points. We have strong faith in Krishna and then
thank you. Okay. No further questions. Okay.
I just one comment. Because in the first canto, the curse by Shrimi is coming in a couple of shlokas.
Yes.
So we are already talking about this curse. So did Maharaj Parikshit know that he was going to be cursed by Brahma's son?
Yeah, that is the story is not like, the presentation is not like just sequential. Initially it is given a summary, key points, then explained further. So Bhagavatam presentation is not just sequential or just chronological. Bhagavatam as such is not chronological. Yeah. As such, the entire Bhagavatam is not chronological. So. Thank you very much. Granthashrama Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.